Welcome to The Connection, where humans and aliens converse, and where all the dots are connected. I'm Nancy of Zeta Talk, an emissary for aliens from Zeta Reticuli. They are here to warn of great cataclysms on Earth and advise how to survive this. The pending pole shift is not the end. Man will make his next leap forward to live a better time when aliens will live among us. From the start of Zeta Talk referred to the Earth undergoing a transformation, a change, that is occurring on several fronts. This change has been administratively programmed to occur at this time because of the massive die-off that is expected to occur during the coming pole shift. But the transformation is change in the spiritual and physical realm. The transformation is a separation of those who have chosen to be service to other, practicing the golden rule consistently in their lives, from those who have chosen to be service to self, remaining self-focused. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Transformation, written July 1995. What is the transformation? The Earth is undergoing a subtle transformation, as the transformation is now. This transformation has been progressing for at least this century and will go on for at least a century more. Transformations occur for many reasons. One reason is that the great majority of the souls native to the planet have reached an orientation decision and are ready to proceed with other lessons. And young planets are checked periodically as to their readiness for harvest in this regard. Another reason is administrative. And that is why the Earth is undergoing its transformation now. The majority of those on Earth have not yet reached their orientation decision, but will be moved to another planet, as the Earth has been designated as a future home for service to other oriented entities. The coming pole shift will expedite this process simply by the fact that 90% of the populace will die, either during the shift or shortly thereafter. To qualify for service to other orientation, an entity must consider others as often as the self. To qualify for service to self, the entity must focus on the self 95% of the time, almost exclusively. Where it may seem that these individuals would stand out, some very diplomatic and cultured people are of this category. They are able to disguise their self-interest in condescension to others. They are able to disguise their self-interest as the interests of the others. Souls must decide their spiritual orientations, service to self or service to other. Most, the vast majority, decide the latter on almost all young worlds, to be service to other. This decision, or the first lesson as it is called, needs to precede almost all other lessons, as mixing the two spiritual orientations together creates chaos, and thus other lessons cannot proceed. The world involves an increasing separation by orientation as the transformation proceeds. The mix of service to other and service to self, and the proportion of undecideds, will not change much as the cataclysms near and times get tough, where some of the undecided will rise to the challenge and move into the service to other category. There will be others, operating in the service to other mode when things are comfortable, who will find their self-focus increasing as their insecurities increase. Some, a very few, who are operating in the service to self mode, will find the troubled times pulling at their hearts and will move back into the undecided category. A greater number will find their selfish nature accentuating during the difficult times, and like those on the Titanic, will push all others aside to save themselves. They will move into the service to self category, so you see that the numbers will move about a bit, but essentially remain unchanged. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. So, we have our percentages of service to other and service to self that will remain pretty stable during the transformation period of a couple hundred years. So, how is this change? For the Zetas, a gradual separation of the orientations takes place. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Gradual Change, written November 1995. The word transformation brings to mind in many sudden change. As the transformation is now, it is obviously happening gradually. What changes have already taken place, and what are the signs of change? Throughout history, there have been places and times noted for cruelty and repression. Inquisitions, the Dark Ages, the Nazi death camps. Likewise, there have been other places and times noted for the opposite. Ancient Athens, the Bill of Rights, socialized medicine, and civil rights. In this, matters have not been black and white, but gray. For if a theme was then dominant, proponents of an alternate way of thinking were also hard at work. During the Dark Ages, great discoveries were made, and ancient Athens had its close-minded bullies. During the spiritual transformation, however, polarization occurs so that alternatives are not so much present as elsewhere. Here we have open-minded exploration of ideas and democratic ideals, and there we have repression. At first, this polarization and separation takes place family by family, then township by township, then spreading to larger areas. Some areas of Argentina have never recovered from the dirty wars and are not about to. If one looks to Scandinavia, one finds legislative consideration, support of others, and public access to information of all kinds. Those who do not find this climate to their liking leave to settle elsewhere. These trends toward separation will continue and exacerbate during the transformation. In step with spiritual change, physical change has taken place. The concepts espoused by the Green Movement, begun in the Netherlands, are now espoused worldwide, and words and thoughts have been followed by action. Pollution control and abatement, once the purview of minuscule government agencies, now hits the front pages regularly and occupies the hearts and minds of researchers worldwide. The results, evident only within the past few years, includes microbes that eat pollution, plants that cleanse the soil, and alternative natural products that don't pollute. Likewise, some religious movements, such as Islamic dictates, have become more harsh and repressive, resulting in increased restrictions on women. In racial relations, advocates of separation have grown bolder and even managed to reverse progress of late. Polarization in the main goes on undetected, with humans migrating to areas they sense will be more compatible with their thinking. Humans join groups, decide what shops to shop in, take walks in this or that park, all based on orientation, increasingly. Political groups, religious affiliations, are all affected by orientation leanings. Decisions as to what groups to belong to, what locales to live in, what employer to work for, are made daily based on the sense the human has that their chosen orientation fits in. At a certain point during a polarization period, these trends are noticed as they become extreme. This is the point reached today, thus noticed. In the past, where the vast majority were undecided, only the occasional fully developed service to self or service to other would be about to influence matters. Jesus or Genghis Khan, so their influence was obvious. During the transformation, where an influx of service to other star children, including walk-ins that increase their numbers dramatically without the birth or maturation of children being required for influence, those in the service to self are threatened. The percentage of service to other on the earth is tipping, and the service to self among humans feel uncomfortable. They group more tightly to be with their like kind. They seek more control, get more shrill, dictate more rules, and restrict access to themselves. This is all to increase their comfort level, to return to the comfort level they remember in prior times. This desire for control, to return to the good old days, is what drives the polarization, as the service to self willingly separates. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. this separation is by choice, in that the service to self do not want to live with the service to other. But most of the souls on earth are undecided, per the Zetas. The percentages are 25 to 30% service to other, depending on the number of walk-ins at any given point, 5 to 7% service to self, as on occasion there's last-minute incarnations for a final opportunity to choose, and the rest are undecided. Doesn't sound like a clear delineation to me, with all those undecideds in the mix. Do families divide nicely into service to other or service to self or undecided? Not my family, that's for sure. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Separate, written February 15, 2002. In that the world that man currently lives in is such that they cannot easily group by orientation into service to other or service to self groups, this is a point of confusion during the transformation. A group of service to other individuals seeking to separate will soon find themselves being visited by those wanting to take advantage of them. A group of service to self individuals are the first to arrive in such a setting, as this is ideal to their way of thinking. Most service to other individuals have family and friends they are intertwined with, who have mixed orientations, are undecided. Then enters the rule of law, societal laws, which require these relationships to continue. Governments do not want groups to isolate themselves and consider this a great threat. One must have schooling, be prepared, be papered, get a job, be taxed, produce offspring that are likewise controlled. So how does this change after the shift, during the transformation? First, isolation and separation from government control is automatic. Governments will lose control utterly, and isolation will be the norm, not something sought. Thus, it comes down to how a small group or a community might separate and polarize. Think of your family, how family members or workforce members find compatible associates and tend to migrate toward them in their free time. If the controls over family support or showing up for work were gone, this would occur increasingly and become full-time. You have the service to self-minded who go off to loot and look for the weak. They are thus removed from strongly service to other groups, as these groups tend to cooperate well with each other and defend themselves. Now you have the undecideds, remaining with the service to other or struggling along on the periphery of the service to self. In a service to other environment, there is much serious discussion, an expectation that all will work hard for the general welfare. Undecided find this grim, no fun, and at the first opportunity peel away and set off on their own. To a great extent, the everyday life that man has today in civilized countries will not exist. Disease, infections, and accidents will strike quickly and decimate survivors. Thus, service to other communities will increasingly find themselves the survivors among survivors. Thus, to imagine this polarization, this separation by orientation, remove the rule of law, the demands of society, and carry forward the natural trends you see among people today. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. Okay, so separation into full polarization occurs mainly after the pole shift. And this separation will eventually result in only those who are firmly service to other remaining on earth. What Jesus referred to when he said the meek will inherit the earth, and that after his return there would be 1,000 years of peace. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Harvest, written July 1995. The pole shift will result in quite a number of souls suddenly looking for reincarnation, but because this is a transformation time, they will be gathered. If they have not made their orientation decision to be service to self or service to other, they'll be whisked off to a water world to be reincarnated into a type of octopus and carry on their lessons. Those who are of service to other will reincarnate into more intelligent hominoids on Earth. And those who are of service to self and have firmly decided this will be sent off to various worlds, at times in human form, for what we would term a very unpleasant life among others of their own kind. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. The separation ultimately occurs after death, and since some survivors can be assumed to live 100 years or more, thus not complete until 100 years or so after the pole shift. At that time, the spiritual transformation merges with a physical transformation to another dimension, where life is lighter, less murky, and per the Zetas, so very much better. For the Zetas, coming back to our dimension to visit with us is like walking through and breathing muddy water. Yuck. But those who have earned their right to live in such an environment by being solidly service to other and applying the golden rule in their everyday life must wait until the earth has spiritually transformed almost completely. This is estimated to be 100 years after the pole shift. In the meantime, we're in the muddy water. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Spiritual Density, written July 1995. All humans, of whatever spiritual level attained, must move together to a higher dimensional plane when the Earth has reached approximately 89% operating in the service to others orientation, the Earth's designated future orientation. Even those humans who are spiritually undecided, not having completed their orientation lesson, will move to the next plane at that time. This mixing of the spiritual and physical densities is a transformation necessity. The alternative would be for mature spiritual humans to suddenly disappear one day, having moved to another dimension, so to speak. This would not only alarm other humans in the vicinity, but would not be the choice of those in service to other who considered their responsibilities. They would not wish to leave behind those they feel responsible for. Thus, all move together. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. Contactees and contactee groups preparing for the transformation. I quote from Zeta Talk, Contact Groups, written September 1995. Group interactions validate experiences. The individual finding their night clothes on backwards knows there has been a visitation, but secretly wonders if perhaps their memory might be failing. In a group of contactees, a synergy takes place. First one and then another realizing, as others tell their tales, that they are not alone in their experiences. Within the contact group, details are shared that have not appeared in print, could not therefore be faked, and are told with much emotion and conviction. When these details, told by another, match the listener's story, more than sharing takes place, and more than an awakening takes place, a transformation takes place. The contact group is now a group of humans who are no longer toying with an idea, no longer arguing with each other, but are facing the reality of the transformation calmly, with open eyes and open minds, and most often with open hearts. Thereafter, walking among others out in society, everything looks different. The frantic push to live better than the Joneses, the focus on the World Series, the chatter about the SETI project, all are put into a different perspective. It is as though all of humanity were in a trench and could not look out except for a few who stand tall. Those too short to see behave as though all that matters takes place in the trench, in their own little world. Those few tall enough to be glimpsing beyond know better, but can do little more than look at each other and smile at the ignorance and short-sightedness around them. Such it is with members of contact groups who find they can only talk honestly among themselves. There is a transformation going on, a personal transformation, but no less important in the scheme of things. Great dunes are built from many grains of sand, and eventually the collective consciousness is such that the transformative momentum begins to affect society. Ideas presented at the table receive support rather than argument. Programs that affect the public are slanted toward the broader view in subtle ways. The little grains of sand are making mounds where no one has noticed, as the wind blew them just a few at a time. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. On an individual basis, contactees are aware of the coming cataclysmic earth changes, the pole shift, even before meeting each other in contact groups or on spaceships, which is an alien-arranged contactee meeting. Contactees so informed often make life changes based on this information. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Life Changes, written October 1995. Contactees who have become comfortable with their understanding of the alien presence and any role they have volunteered to perform during the transformation are seldom passive. They reflect this in their daily life, as is inevitable following any overreaching concept grasped or heavy commitment. Just as the decision to settle down into married life can often be read by others as perhaps taking up cooking or giving up singles parties, likewise the awakened contactee can often be recognized. The signs are subtle and in the normal course of human events would leave no mark in that the alien presence is seldom discussed. But the awakened contactee changes in not-so-subtle ways the whole course of their life. The impact can be equated to joining the priesthood or the Peace Corps or the military. The contactee's whole life is affected. As the transformation is now, if the awakened contactee has chosen a role, they seldom delay. Those in service to other of whom we are speaking want to assist with preparations for the cataclysms or helping mankind understand what is to befall them and its import. Frequently, these contactees are already in responsible roles, acting as service to others do, as a mainstay for others. Stepping up to larger responsibilities does not concern them, but those who have come to rely on the contactee are frequently alarmed. Life changes are planned and enacted by the contactee, who often is grimly determined and turns a deaf ear to complaints. Not infrequently, a well-paying job is dropped so that more time can be spent on the pressing tasks at hand, which the contactee is eager to take up. A spouse or children who have to curtail their standard of living or move to more modest quarters are often furious. Family and friends are sent to argue with the contactee, who is, in their eyes, failing to listen to reason. What's gotten into him? Mental illness is suspected, but discarded when none of the classic symptoms show up. Sometimes divorce or alienation from the family results. Often old friends who fail to understand are dropped and new friendships are developed among those of a like mind. Contactees thus awakened and mobilized find each other, in some small part as we guide them to do so, in response to their call to us. They take up work with each other, forming teams, and fill their hearts and minds with the satisfaction that results, as a salve for the concurrent pain of loss they must often bear. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. Some contactees are not in a position to make life changes, so continue in a time release mode. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Time to Release, written December 1996. Many contactees express a feeling that they are aware of things that are likely to occur in the future, are emotionally ready for these occurrences, but are consciously unaware of what they may be. Of course, in human society, those who prepare too soon for the coming cataclysms will be viewed as odd and consequently laughed at or harassed for sounding an alarm unduly. When life today seems so much like the life of yesterday, the average human in any society on Earth will not listen to a message about coming cataclysms with much patience. However, contactees who have been open to the message that service to other aliens have been willing to give them know that the Earth will receive renting changes soon and are subconsciously prepared. The schism in thinking leads many to believe that this knowledge is encoded with some kind of timed release, where the knowledge is not truly available to humans until scant months or even days prior to the cataclysms. This timing may in fact be correct, but the contactees are fully aware of the circumstances. They are simply choosing to be unaware during their day-to-day existence in human society. When the time is right, they will get in contact with their subconscious knowledge. For many, the conflicts that early conscious awareness would present are best left alone. For instance, a mother has a handicapped child, one who requires medical attention in order to survive. She knows that this child will not live beyond a week after medical attentions cease, and that she will bury this child shortly after the cataclysms bring down bridges and rent the telephone lines from their poles. Were she to be consciously aware of what was coming, would she encourage this handicapped child to learn to read and write at the present moment? Such encouragement strengthens the spirit of both mother and child, and is worthwhile for this reason alone. The mother chooses to be unaware. A young businessman in a small town employs several individuals who are considered marginal employees by most employers, as they are undereducated, semi-skilled, and often speak in broken English. During their employment, this young businessman is able to encourage them to self-sufficiency and finds his employees growing gardens and repairing mechanical devices under his tutelage. Were he to be consciously aware of the coming cataclysms, his attention to the needs of the business world would falter, and his business might fail to prosper. Consequently, he would be less able to nurture others in preparation. He chooses to be unaware. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. Contactee roles are always chosen, not assigned. The contactee chooses to be a contactee, and during interactions with aliens, volunteers for roles. They are not the chosen, as some hype states. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Roles, written in January 2003. Many contactees, most of whom do not even know they are contactees, sense they have a role to play soon. We have referred to the subconscious knowledge of this, where the role might be in conflict with the contactee's existing life, as timed release information. The changes we are talking about are abrupt and disruptive, and thus have been put off. Where a role is not in conflict with a person's existing life, it is likely to be expressed early, as soon as realized. But where in conflict, such as a military person who is determined to prevent blockades, keeping the poor or minority population trapped in cities during the last hours, realization of their role might come at the very last minute. The reasons are obvious. If the military individual were to consciously realize this earlier, he or she would give their plans away and prevent the role from happening. Thus, those in such double identity binds often have a hard denial of their contactee role. Thus, there is simply no statement that can be made about contactee roles, and when the contactee will become aware of their chosen role, it depends on the contactee, their life situation, the culture they live in, and an endless number of factors. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. Regardless of conscious awareness or not, coordination between contactees is increasingly occurring. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Coordination, written December 1995. Increasingly, during the transformation, contactees are beginning to work together. They find each other not by accident, not because they are browsing over the same books at this bookstore, not because they are members of the same organization, but because they have been introduced to each other behind the scenes and have plotted their meeting time and place. It is we and our brethren in the service to other who respond to the call of many by arranging these opportunities, which are warmly received and acted upon. These meetings result in marriages, business arrangements, friendships, philanthropic connections, and long-range planning galore. Survival groups are very unobtrusively arranging themselves. Neighbor-to-neighbor talks, people meeting in their normal association and identifying each other, more so than any kind of organized activity where they answer an ad placed in a paper. They are in fact migrating to live close to each other regionally, and by this they are being guided, since often they are meeting each other as contactees. They are most often not aware of a conscious level of why they are making the move that they are making. They make all manner of excuses, pick up and move, change occupations, and find themselves in an area where they get along better with the neighbors and their particular skill set meshes nicely. This will increasingly happen as the time arrives, and even after, where those survivors will migrate, following their instincts more than anything, and finding each other. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. Contactees, in communication with each other, are instrumental in making the transformation happen. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Transformation Activities, written February 1996. The Earth is being visited by great numbers of aliens at this time, as the Earth's transformation is now. What are all these aliens doing, and who's doing what? Alien visitors are assisting humans operating spiritually in the service to other orientation with their transformation activities. The Earth's future is in the hands of humans at the present moment, and nothing can be accomplished unless it is done by human hands, a result of humans giving the call, or due to one human stepping aside or giving permission to another human so that an activity may occur. With that in mind, what are these activities? What humans presume to be the process of change, based on their observations of human society, is not all what is taking place. In human society, change comes primarily in a top-down manner, from edicts or laws, and secondarily when outside influences that are discernible, such as weather changes or pronouncements or war or the ravages of disease, force change. The changes being wrought by human hands during the Earth's transformation are neither edicts or discernible by all. They are covert and the result of cooperation among humans. When seemingly quiet revolutions take place in human society, they in fact prove to be edicts upon close examination. The general in the hills directing terrorist activities against an establishment he wishes to topple. The ringleader in a group inciting the others to acts that are laid out for the underlings as assignments. The quiet revolution that is the transformation is different, as there is no single leader or set of ringleaders, no assignments or edicts, but rather each human operating in the service to other orientation, choosing his or her role and acting under their own volition. These activities can constitute something as minor as the reporting of news, being more truthful, or the coordination of efforts, where the needs of one are met by the offer of another. On occasion, an effort is heroic, the sacrifice of a life to draw attention to an injustice, or the quiet gift of hard-earned savings, or one's time to a cause not personally rewarding. Increasingly, transformation activities involve more than one, a group of humans who have found each other, often due to requested assistance from aliens. Where should I look? Where should I go? Whom might I meet there, and how might introductions be started? The contactee might ask. As they have given the call, we of the service to other orientation assist, giving information and even arranging behind-the-scenes introductions during group visitations, so that later those who wish to meet each other will not feel themselves to be strangers. These activities are on the increase among humans, and consequently for those aliens in the service to other, there is scarcely a spare moment. All service to other aliens visiting Earth at this time, no matter what type of life form, are enlisted in these activities. Thus, contactees may find themselves conferring with each other during visitations with an intelligent species akin to an octopus or a hedgehog coordinating the activities. However, whenever possible, face-to-face encounters with humans are done by other hominoids to minimize any adjustment the dedicated humans will have to make. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. Regardless of individual awareness, contact must deal with others who may not be willing to be aware. What kind of clashes can be expected during the transformation process? I quote from Zeta Talk, Two Camps, written February 1998. As the years leading up to the pole shift pass, a dichotomy of attitudes will develop among those with the capacity to examine the facts. By far the larger segment of humanity will be too busy to notice, as their lives are filled with desperation as it is. Those who have the time to ponder issues and access to the news will fall into two camps. Those who are courageous and have a logical mind will note the holes in the explanations they are given. These individuals will note that with increasing cohesiveness, the facts point to an approaching pole shift, and that the only explanation that fits is a wandering planet making a periodic passage. Thus, a certain percentage of the Earth's population will become aware and allow themselves to contemplate the situations, regardless of what story the establishment tries to feed them. This percentage will increase sharply in the weeks leading into the pole shift. A far larger group will hear the facts and discard them with any number of excuses. As the time of the shift nears and the facts are even more impelling, they will become more shrill, refusing to deal with the facts or even contemplate them, but rather attacking the messengers. At the same time, these individuals will increasingly cling to what seems to make them more secure, whether this be more solid stocks and bonds, more material items, or increasing the use of religious rituals in the hopes that God will save them. Where their sense of doom is not relieved in this manner, these individuals may turn to drugs and alcohol, sex, distraction in adventure or exhausting sports, or living in the fantasy world that the movies or soap operas or TV produce. These camps will not be able to communicate with each other and will find increasingly that they ignore each other. The first camp will find kindred souls to discuss the issues and formulate solutions, dropping the endless arguments that ensue when those in denial are pressed with the facts. The second camp will ridicule the first, as their sober talks and laying out of facts only tends to make them more anxious. The two camps will come together only during the last week, when the rotation stops and the constant presence of a reddish object in the sky, rapidly enlarging as the days pass, has made talk of the end of the world a daily conversation. At this point, the first camp will find the second at their doorstep, demanding to be taken in. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. Denial is one thing, but it is likely that those who are highly service to other will be concerned and preparing, while those who are undecided or frankly service to self and only living for the pleasure of the moment are not preparing. Just how should this be handled? I quote from Zeta Talk, Mixed Groups, written June 1996. In a mixed orientation society, there are several barriers to the complete polarization that is the end result of the transformation process. As might be expected, these barriers are all to the favor of those in the service to self, who prefer to have those in the service to others around as prey. Those in the service to self should be thrown onto their own resources to fend for themselves, which in any event is the setting they can anticipate in the future. to placate and wait on those in the service to self only creates, ultimately, a ruder shock in the future. Thus, it is in fact a kindness to refuse to be their servant class. The standard of living will drastically drop. Titles and positions attained will lose their meaning, and any false sense of security from savings accounts or possessions will shatter. Thus, all who survive the pole shift will need to adjust to the new reality. Where this will be difficult for all, it will be most difficult for those who are used to demanding services. Their demands will increase in proportion to their sense of deprivation, which will be acute. Exhausted and half-starved themselves, stoic humans in the service to others orientation will find themselves surrounded by wailing and angry demands. Do something about this situation will be the demand when there's nothing to be done. Thus, those in the service to others orientation, anticipating this, should learn to tune a deaf ear to all demands on them, as they will have their hands full simply doing what they know needs to be done. Self-help, where possible, should be the rule, as the burden on responsible individuals in the service to others orientation, attending to the needs of all around them, will be overwhelming. These individuals will be the ones keeping the mechanisms of food and energy production and shelter construction in motion, who will be doing the planning and organizing and rallying the distraught to address the steps that need to be taken. These individuals need to keep themselves strong, else if they drop from exhaustion, there will be no leadership. Thus, whimpering employees for assistance should be met with the counter demands that such assistance only be requested when self-help has been tried, and tried repeatedly, and given only when it's obvious to all that assistance from others is needed. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. Nevertheless, those highly in the service to self resist. They are used to frankly using others, and how dare these others break away? And I quote from Zeta Talk, Breakaway Consternation, written December 1996. During the transformation, gradual polarization of the two spiritual orientations occurs, so that service to other groups emerge and grow in numbers, while service to self groups harden and become more intense in their power trips. The service to other groups are increasingly working together in a highly cooperative mode that requires few rules, and when isolated from those in the service to self, enjoy increased productivity and freedom from slavish obedience to often irrelevant policies and procedures. However, when the polarizing groups encounter each other, the freewheeling activity in the service to others groups causes consternation in those firmly in the service to self orientation, breakaway consternation. Those strongly in the service to self have often learned to use the rules of society to their advantage, from robbing others through the stock and bond markets to riding on the backs of hardworking individuals whose ideas and work products are taken by the service to self with as little credit or financial return to the workers as possible. Their maneuvers are clothed in laws and religious strictures, and without all these rules that the state and church enforce, their power trips would be curtailed. Thus, when they see service to other groups operating without these rules, they become nervous. Might this trend continue? What kind of life does this foretell for the service to self individual who has no intention of doing their fair share or letting those they think of as their virtual slaves escape? Those in the service to self will attempt to bring the emerging service to others groups under their control, and failing to do so, will tighten their grip on those already under their control. Their breakaway consternation manifests in intrusive checking on the plans of those under their thumb and vicious attacks when they find simple cooperation replacing slavish obedience to rules. They feel the grip they have loosening and slipping, and this makes them frantic. How dare the service to others break away? End of the quote from Zeta Talk. A big and early loser during the transformation is organized religion. And I quote from Zeta Talk on organized religion, written December 1996. One of the big and early losers during the transformation will be the organized religions of the world. They are already losing membership, though this is rarely reported, and anxiety is gripping those in the corridors of power as a result. The Catholic religion has long experienced depletion of their ranks in the United States, and as entrenched as Catholicism is in South America, this continent is not far behind. The trend toward tolerance and open-mindedness does not incline one toward rigidities and the acceptance of authority that organized religions rely upon. Where there are enclaves of control, as within Islamic states, the rest of the world has shown a steady trend toward free thinking and independence from the mandates that organized religion impose. What does this mean for the church? Shrinking membership means shrinking profits, but for many organized religions, this does not represent a pinch, as the numbers interested in devoting their lives as free workers to an organized religion are also shrinking. The Catholic Church has long had a much underreported exodus from the priesthood and nunneries, and other religions with rigid doctrines have experienced similar trends. The ranks grow older and new members from the youth of society join less often. In many enclaves of the devout, there are none but the old, and the entire establishment will close when the geriatric members die off. Thus, where the corridors of power are still filled with the same iron grip of the power-hungry, the empire they rule continues to shrink. Thus, in those rare instances where church and state merge, such as some Islamic states, the church can do naught but fret. Changing the message to one of tolerance fools few and actually raises more suspicions than it dampens. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. The wealthy elite are not far behind, and I quote from Zeta Talk on these wealthy elite, written September 1999. The wealthy elite are sitting on top of the pile and are not interested in losing this position. They have heard, either through innuendo or through their own paid research, that the coming cataclysms are very real. They try to imagine where they'll be if the banks aren't solid and they can't just snap their fingers and order the services they need and intimidate people based on their money. Heaven forbid that they should be level to the rest of the population and have to grovel and scratch. They can't have that. They are trying to figure out what they can do. In the past, they could rely on the court system, which is in the main their friend, or large corporations which they can threaten to fire or harass those failing to cooperate with the wealthy elite. And of course they have bought politicians, right and left. What are they to do if all this is aside and they are just standing there with their useless paper money and stores of goods? Even if they hire people to guard them, that only goes so far. One can have 50 people with assault weapons guarding the perimeter, but depending on what comes at you, this may be inadequate. A sheer force of numbers can spill bodies until the guards are overwhelmed, and then the horde is at the gate. So the wealthy elite worry about situations like Mexico traveling north, the city of LA emptying and charging up into the mountains or going into Utah, into the enclaves there. They sit around and speculate about where to create blocks and prevent that from happening. End of the quote from Zeta Talk on the wealthy elite. And those who are members of what is loosely called the New World Order, what are their concerns? And I quote from Zeta Talk, New World Order, written July 1995. There is much discussion in the world of ufology and beyond about the New World Order and various establishment elites who want to remain in control during and throughout troubled times. They are on top now and want to remain there. They fear social unrest in the extreme. Any alternative to losing their control is acceptable, and the misery of others is the least of their concerns. These elites can be members of a government who enjoy power and influence due to their authority, the wealthy who enjoy an easy life and can generally buy their way out of troubles, corporate heads who are used to the concept that they command, military leaders who can't imagine anyone else in charge, religious leaders who fear to stand alone in the world, not clothed in the reverence people cast their way, and any others in a particular position of power for whatever reason. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. After the pole shift, when the shock of social and political adjustments had been made, what then? The world will physically and spiritually change rapidly. For one thing, the earth will renew itself. A pollution-scarred earth will renew itself. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Natural Resources, written August 1995. Given man's rapacious nature, at the current rate of population explosion, most of the Earth's biological resources would be exterminated within decades. Those that remained beyond cultivated crops and animals would be deep within the sea or in barren, cold places where pollution had not spread because man did not choose to live there. The cataclysms, of course, will change all that, more than evening the odds between man and nature. But were it not for the cataclysms, mankind would utterly destroy the biological diversity of this world, plundering the seas until chain reactions set in to decimate populations not even targeted by man. After the pole shift, these trends will essentially stop. The Earth's natural bounty will be allowed to renew. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. Well, this will not go unassisted, as there will be a cleanup in process, many helping hands. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Cleanup, written December 1999. Can we straighten out pollution? Yes. This is in the main done even before the transformation. We are already affecting the planet Earth as we are resident on Earth and intended to be future residents. Ourselves and our hybrids are counted in decisions on whether we can affect our future home. This is not a black and white matter where mankind has complete control and can run the earth into a sewer and we have to stand back and agonize. This is a complicated calculation. There are some areas where we can step in, where we can influence the setting in which mankind is deliberating his orientation choice. We can certainly, after the cataclysms, go into a cesspool of chemicals where there may have been a chemical plant and with just a dab here and there, change the chemical nature of that volatile soup to be something benign rather than destructive. We can simply alter radioactivity. Man tends to think of this as something that takes thousands, perhaps millions of years in half-life spans to affect radioactivity. But what causes radioactivity is the structure of the atom and the nucleus. And this can be altered by chemistry, just as the nature of hydrogen and oxygen forming water is an alteration. All atoms are affected by what they come in contact with. None stands alone. All of them are affected. Can we stop nuclear explosions? Can we do so today? Yes and no. Depending upon whether this is interfering with orientation decisions of humans on Earth, basically, we can't interfere with the lesson, and where the lesson won't be interfered with, we have the right to do so as future residents. End of the quote from Zeta Talk on cleanup. That concludes our broadcast. Thank you for being with us. Remember to carry love in your heart. It's the commodity of the future. As the Zetas say, love may have a blooming going into the shift, as it ought, those with great love in their hearts responding to the realization that little else matters.